Go ahead and open your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter. We're going to look at a few verses there. My brother said, just bring a short challenge, maybe something that you've covered in Sunday school, or maybe something in your Bible class, and the Lord just seemed to close those doors and bring something else. I have a book that I've had for years, and it has lists of things in it. And there was a list on one of the pages of the be commands of Scripture, where we're commanded to be something. Many of these, and we can't name them all, but be glad, be joyful, be filled with the Spirit, be strong in the Lord, be reconciled to God, be kind one to another, be imitators of God, be alert, and the list just goes on and on. But the Lord just seemed to impress one from our passage here that is probably one of the most difficult to keep. And that is found in verse 16, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Let's pray. Father, I ask that you'll bless now as we take a few minutes and look at your word. Help us to see what you expect from your children, how you expect us to behave in this life, possibly why we are to be holy, and teach us how to be holy as we live our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. You know, some of these things that were just mentioned are not that hard to do. You know, some of the things that we do in life, some of the chores that we're given, some of the things that we're commanded, maybe as children, commanded from their parents, or maybe a boss commands his workers, aren't that hard. Maybe your job is, maybe as a child, maybe your job is to fold the laundry or iron the clothes. Not the most pleasant, but doable, right? Or maybe if you're a boy, maybe it's get the mower out and mow the grass. May not be the most pleasant thing, but it's doable. There were some servants in the Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, that were given some commands. Eliezer, Abraham's servant, was commanded to go and find a wife. Go find a bride for Isaac. Boy, now that's a tough order, all right? That one's a tough one. And he certainly had some questions about going about this and, you know, finding a bride for my master's son. But you know, in the back of Abraham's mind, he had already measured up Eliezer. He knew what Eliezer was capable of doing. Joseph put in charge of Potiphar's whole household. All the ordering, assigning the work, ordering things in so that the household could run smoothly. It was a tall order for Joseph. It was a huge responsibility on his shoulders, but Potiphar knew that he could handle it. Then there were the men that Elijah ordered to pour water around the altar. Now that's a job I could handle. You men go get some pots of water and start dumping it, okay? Not too difficult a task. There are some difficult commands in Scripture, but this is one of the toughest ones. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Difficult command. Indeed. Now the word holy conjures up ideas of white robes and halos and things like that's not what the word means. For years we've heard from Dr. Hobbs that the word holy is just another word for be separate. We do this all the time. We take things that we don't want and we separate them and put them over off to the side because there's something else that we do want. Might be something as simple as cutting up a watermelon. You don't want the rind, you separate it. You keep the good part. That's what being holy is. It's being separate, being set apart. Here's the world. We're set apart. We're over here. We're consecrated. We're hallowed to God. There's a positive and a negative connotation there. If we're separated to God, that's the positive, but we're separated from, that's the negative, from the sin and worldly influences. And we're to be holy in an unholy world. We may trust Christ, we may become a new creature, but we don't get transported to heaven right then. We're stuck right where we've been at all the time in the world and in sin, but the command is still there to be holy. Now the Father knows what His children can handle. He knows what responsibilities they can handle. And sometimes a good father will put a little bit more on a child because the father is encouraging that young person to take a little more responsibility than maybe they were expecting and to grow. I can remember, kids have fears. And as we grow up, a lot of those fears subside, but we still have things within us that tend to try to kind of hold us back, right? I can remember my daughter, when she was 5 years old, we decided that the kids would just ride their bikes to school. She's got two older brothers, and we didn't know it, but the boys had turned it into a race. So they would come through the Whitney's gate, and it was just put it to the metal. And here they go flying up to the campus to see who's the first one to get to school. And here's this five-year-old girl coming down that road all by herself. We didn't really think much about it. But to her, it was a big deal. It was a huge fear. She would get to school and she'd be crying. And she'd come and find us. What's wrong? The boys left me in the dirt. We didn't think so. Just ride your bike anyway. You know the school's still here. Nothing bad's going to happen. Oh boy, no. Never ride my bike again. And she was adamant about it. All right, not riding the bike. It was a fear. And then, probably about 3-4 years later, during Christmas break, she comes up to me and says, I want to ride my bike up to the school by myself. All right, here's an opportunity to overcome a fear. Here's an opportunity to get out of your comfort zone. Dad, don't follow me. Oh, I wanted to walk back and kind of keep an eye on her. Oh, Dad, don't follow me. I want to do this by myself. Okay. It's good for a young person to be put in a position where there's something difficult, a difficult task. What does God say? Be ye holy. Same thing with a servant. Servant may not know everything that the master knows, but if the master says, all right, I want you to build me something. I want you to build a structure over here. Well, that servant might know how to hammer a nail. He may know how to cut a board, but he may not be able to build that structure by himself. What happens? When the servant's limited, what happens? The master steps in and helps. Let's look at these verses quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. I think Peter here answers a couple questions. First of all, why? Why are we to be holy? I think in verse 16, it's the first part of the verse, it's pretty obvious that there's a command. It is written. Don't love and obedience go together in the Scriptures always? Didn't the Lord say, if you love me, keep my commandments? They go together. Leviticus 11 is where this command comes from, and we don't have time to look at it, but Leviticus 11 is one of the passages that deals with the ceremonial law. And there were some difficult things in there that no doubt the Israelites didn't understand. One of the commands was that if a woman birthed a female child, she was to be unclean for twice as long as if she had birthed a male child. Now, I don't understand why God would have put that command into the ceremonial law, but it's there in Leviticus 11. But we don't always have to know why God says something or why God commands something. We just believe it. We just obey it. He had a reason, and maybe one day we'll be enlightened and he'll let us know. So what do? When we're given a command, we obey it. It's a command. I think another reason why we would want to be holy seems evident in the last part of the verse, is so that we can be like our Father. Didn't He say that we are holy? He proclaimed us to be holy when we trusted in His Son. We look at ourselves and say, I'm not holy. But when He looks down from heaven and sees us, the blood covers our sins, does it not? We're holy. I think a lot of children like to copy Dad. I certainly did. A lot of things, a lot of the mannerisms that I have, I know I got them from my dad. I see your children too. A lot of them have mannerisms and things, and they copied you. Shouldn't we be like that with our Heavenly Father? Shouldn't there be things that we should copy or want to copy? We should want to be holy. Unbelievers are children of the devil, and they will not strive for holiness. But we, as His children, are able to do so. How? Through His grace and through the Holy Spirit. Only. We're called saints. In Romans 1:11 and 1 Corinthians 1, we're told that the saints are called to be holy, to be separate, to be set apart, to distance ourselves from the world. So why are we to be holy? Because we're to obey the Word of God, and because we need to imitate our Father. How are we to be holy? Well, there's several, I think we can see in these verses, how we can be holy. Look at verse 14. It says, "Be ye not conformed to the former lusts." Romans 12:1-2. "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Think about the nation of Israel. What were they like in Egypt? They were in darkness. There was idolatry all around them. What were they supposed to be like? They're supposed to be different, right? They were called out of Egypt. Were they supposed to bring Egypt with them? No. There's a before, there's an after. What about Israel in the Promised Land? When they came in, they were supposed to be different than the Canaanites, a before and an after. And we, saved out of the world, consecrated, removed from sin, and now in a position where we can be holy like our Father, we're not supposed to go back into that. Martin Luther said something like this: "Nobody takes a bath and then goes and puts their dirty clothes back on." Right? We can't be holy if we're always conforming to those former lusts that we were saved from. Not only are we to not be conformed to the former lusts, but we are to be holy in all of our conduct. Verse 15, "So be ye holy in all manner of conversation." In every area of our life, we're to be holy. We're not to compartmentalize and say, "Well, I have this religious compartment over here, and I'm going to be holy in that area. But I've got this area over here in my life, and I don't have to be holy there." Really? It's not what the Scripture says. We're to be holy in everything. You see, it's not a lifestyle of conformity to a list of rules where we just conform on the outside. What happens is, with a spirit of true holiness, the inside is different too. We want to be different on the outside. Why? Because we are different on the inside. What else? Well, we are to be holy by imitating God, as we said earlier. Matthew 5:48 says, "Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Boy, God sets high standards, does He not? How far short of perfection do we come? It's a daily battle, is it not? And then lastly, I think in verse 14 we can see one more how we can be holy: by It says, as obedient children. Very simple. By obeying God's Word. He's given us His Word. We're to know it. We're to read it. We're to study it. We're to follow it. We're to obey it. In summary, I think Peter would say something simply like this. If you're a child of God, why don't you act like one? A challenge tonight to be holy. Very, very difficult. But just like that servant whose master knows what he can handle and what he can accomplish and what he can do, and just like that father who knows what his children's limitations are and tries to push them to get them out of their comfort zone, our Heavenly Father will help us through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, to do what He commands to be holy. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'll bless Your Word now. What we've said that on the surface seems so easy to try to live a life that's pleasing to You, but surrounded in a world of sin and darkness, it's not easy. But I pray that You would help us to walk by faith and not by sight, that we might sanctify ourselves from the pollution and sin of this world, and that we might be separated unto You. And help us, Lord, to be witnesses of our home and our citizenship in heaven as we go about in this earth until You come again. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen.